Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15 is our scripture text today. And the sermon is Pray Along These Lines, part 2. And you know, there's so much wealth in the Lord's Prayer that I thought I could get it done in a couple of weeks, but there is just no way. The truths that come out from this. So we will continue this series as well next week, and Lord willing, we'll end it next week with this praying along these lines. So let's pray and let's lift up this message to the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we set out to teach Your Word, Father, we thank You that that in this house of prayer, we take these several weeks to teach Your prayer. And so, Father, I ask that You would reveal that truth, that understanding to us out of that guide that You have given us as followers. And so, Father, bless this time, and may Your Word be lifted up as the highest standard, the standard of truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me remind you of the context of this second part of our study. Jesus had just addressed the hypocritical nature of prayer that was being offered by the scribes and the Pharisees, as well as Jews that were following pagan prayer practices. The scribes and the Pharisees were praying to draw attention to themselves, and others had got caught into this prayer of a repetitious manner that they were following the pagans' example. They wanted to wake up. They wanted to coerce. They even wanted to pester their gods in order to get their ear. So Jesus gives His disciples, He gives the multitude this rabbinic outline, this guide, if you will, to those whose hearts have recognized the need for a change. And Jesus is giving a divine pattern of the kind of prayer that is pleasing to God. So if you will, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, and let me read to you all the way to verse 15. It says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." 14. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now you will recall that last week I said that Jesus had just spoken against repetitious prayer. So therefore, He would not be giving this prayer so that His followers would recite it verbatim, repetitiously, over and over. When He says in this manner, in verse 9, He is also saying, along these lines, this is a guide. And then He says, "Our Father," also in verse 9, and He is restoring the biblical truth that had been lost over the generations and over the centuries that had been lost. They'd lost the fact that God was a personal, intimate, loving God. And then He says, "Hallowed be Your name," at the end of verse 9. He is pointing to the fact that the very essence, the very character of God is found in His name. And you are asking, of this request, you are asking God to make His name holy, to make His name set apart. But not only in this world, but in the life of the one that is praying in this manner. And in order to do this, the one that is praying needs to know who God is through His name. And so I just want to recap quickly But if you need these, you can go on the website and you can listen to last week's message and also download the PDF there if you need it written out. But we know God is Elohim, the Creator God, and El Elyon, the God Most High, and El Roy, the God who sees and watches over you, and El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One, God Almighty, Adonai, Lord, Master, Owner, Jehovah, Yahweh, the Self-Existent One, the most personal name of God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, our banner, the one who leads us into victory, Jehovah Mekadesh Kem, the Lord that sanctifies you, sets you apart, and makes you holy through Jesus Christ, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is your peace, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord your host, commander over heaven and earth, Jehovah Ra, the Lord is your shepherd, Jehovah Shema, the God who is there, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, and then the greatest name of God, Jesus Christ. Everything that the Son of God was and did here on earth was a display of God's name, was a display of the very essence of God. But remember, it's not important to know the Hebrew names of God. It is important to know who God is. It is important to know His essence. Now, in verse 10, it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is your request, that you believe who Jesus is, that you believe that He is the true Son of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And your request is that He would come now, and that the glory that is happening in heaven, the will that is happening in heaven because of His presence, that it would be done here on earth. And then that brings us to the text that we will cover today, starting in verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, on the surface, this does not seem to be one of the primary needs of us. After all, we live here in America and we have plenty of food. But we can all see that this would be part of a daily prayer, maybe in a third world country. It would be part of a prayer to someone who is extremely poor and looking for food. But look at us in America. I mean, we can come here even to FCC and we can have food lined up. An amazing amount of food. So amazing that people will say, "What are we going to do with all this food?" And Stacy McCulley will say, "It will all be gone." And sure enough, at the end of this church service, there is nothing but crumbs and plates. I mean, we don't necessarily need to be praying for food. In fact, we probably have more food than we already need. But let me break this down for you. On your outline, it says bread. And what you have to know, that in this verse, in this rabbinical outline, bread was symbolic for all our physical needs. Everything necessary to live. Everything, food, health, weather, shelter, companionship, peace, on and on. That is the symbolic representation of bread. Now that puts a new light on this verse. So question number one on your outline, verse 11 really says, "Give us this day everything we need to live." We are asking God to provide everything to live. But we are also affirming that God is the source of all things that allow us to live. Amen? I mean, that's what you have to really remember, is that when you are in your daily prayer, when you are asking God, "God, give me everything I need to live," why are you asking God for that? Unless you believe that He is the source of all that you need. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. He is the one that provides. He is our source of supply. Now, here's one thing about us in America. When everything is going well, when we have plenty of food on the table and our job is going well and we have a very safe life, we begin to think that we have done a good job. We have managed the load of life well. And in fact, that's how other people look at us. When you are successful externally, I mean, when you're successful, it seems you have peace. You seem to have food. You seem to have a really nice shelter over your head, whether you're driving or whether you're at home. That you have managed the load of life well. However, the reality is that even if you are the hardest working person and have provided for your family, and you've provided for them well, you still owe thanks to God because He's the one that provides. Now, here's how it works. You have food that comes from a seed. And that seed was created in the beginning by God. That's why you have that food. But you might even take on the argument that you are a scientist. And so as a scientist, you developed a seed that maybe was much better. I mean, it didn't take as much water to grow. But you still have to remember that God provided the seed in the first place. And for that matter, where did you get the water that it needed anyway? God provided all of that. And you might even go one step further and you think, yeah, but I drive a truck or I work on a computer all day long. And so I'm my own man. I mean, I do my own work. But you have to remember this, all the materials that make up the truck, all the materials that make up the computer come from minerals that God provided in the creation from the very beginning. It all comes from God. It doesn't matter what it is, God provided it. So Jesus is giving you the opportunity to not fall into the sin of indifference, into the sin of ingratitude. Daily, you are to recognize His gifts. You are to recognize His provision in your prayers. We should constantly be aware that what we already have used in days past came from God. And what we use today is from God. And what we will use in the future comes from God. Amen? We have to remember those things. That's that whole thing. It's not about me. It is all about you. And when I lead myself and I walk to do kingdom work, it's with everything that you have provided. When you say, give us this day our daily bread, the us means those who recognize God as Father. You have to remember the beginning of this prayer, our Father. You have to remember who is initiating this prayer. Those who believe that God is that loving, intimate Father. The believers are to pray this along these lines. Luke 18 on your outline, 18, 29 and 30. So He said to them, this is Jesus, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brother or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. See, God promises to provide every essential need to those who follow Him. And I know sometimes we get in a rut, you know, and we forget where God is. Now, the thing is we move away from God. We move out of His protection. But you know, those tests and trials that we face are to bring us closer to recognize the weakness of our faith and to recognize God. If you think that in some way you are missing out because that you have what you have left to follow Jesus Christ in order to be obedient, then here is the promise from Christ. Here is the promise in your prayer that you will receive more, not only now, but you will receive more for eternity. That's his present. That's his promise. But I do want to clarify that this is not the prosperity gospel. This is not give up everything and God will make you rich. That's not what this is at all. This has to do with peace and provision. To turn to Christ and away from unbelieving relatives, to turn to Christ and leaving the security of your home, to turn to Christ and maybe take a job that God has you to take, and to follow Christ in obedience would be very difficult in your flesh. But in Christ, in faith, God provides the way. When Taylor was born, my wife stayed home to raise her. That was something new to me. My mom worked all, you know, I was a single mom, so my mom worked. So that was pretty new to me. And so she quit her job when Taylor was born, full-time teaching, and there goes about $40,000 a year. But God provided. And then I went into the ministry and I sold a business, and there goes another $20,000 a year. And God provided. Now, I will have you know that my lifestyle did change. No more yearly trips to Hawaii. And yes, I do miss Hawaii. No extravagant vacations. But you know, we used to live in this neighborhood and we used to joke after being in the ministry, wow, when they find out how much money we really make, they're going to kick us out of here. But God provided along the way. But we did what we knew was right. We did what we knew what God was calling us to do. And in our flesh, it doesn't add up. But in our faith, we saw God's provision. I just finished working for FCC for the last 6 months for free. And I want you to know something. I could not do that unless God provided. And you need to recognize that when you give Him glory. There is a way, but are you looking for that way? And are you willing to give Him the glory when you see that way? Number two on your outline, we are to thank God for His daily provision. For His daily provision. Listen to this truth from Christ in Matthew 6, 25, 32, and 33. It says this, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? 32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Now I want you to understand that God has provided for many of us, through the miraculous. And you need to be looking for the miraculous, and you need to recognize that it's God. It's not a coincidence. It's not luck. It's only explainable by God. Now, I want you to know that as you watch what God is doing and you are giving Him glory, God provides through your work. He has given you health, and so you work, and then you get an income, and that's God's provision for you. He gives you health. He gives you weather. He gives you a roof over your head so that you can continue to work. He gives you great rest. And because if you're capable, then you work. God's word says that if you are capable and you don't work, you don't eat. And if you're not capable of working, then God provides through the generosity of those who can work. And there again, you see God's provision and you give Him glory. Amen? Jesus has given us a guide that is our prayer life. He's given us a guide in our daily prayer life. And we are to rely on God to provide everything that we need to live. Give us this day our daily bread, verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, debts here on your outline means sin. And it's the idea of missing the mark or falling short. And what you have to know about sin is if you were to draw a picture of an archer, man has an arrow and he's shooting an arrow at a target. It doesn't matter if the arrow falls short of the target, if the arrow barely misses the target, it doesn't matter. It's sin. That's the picture of the debt here, missing the mark. Number three, sin is a moral and spiritual debt to God that must be paid. Now see, sin separates us from God. So sin is the greatest problem in life. Sin can dominate the life, it can dominate the mind of man. Sin can render a man useless for God's kingdom work. We can feel the effects of sin in misery, in dissatisfaction, in guilt. Sin is seen in crime and murder and lying and immorality, in sickness and pain, and in the sorrow of mankind. We can see how important it is to rely on God for our daily provision, our daily prayer. But, number four, immeasurably more important than our daily bread is our need for continual forgiveness of sin. Amen? It is what gives us life, forgiveness. That forgiveness only comes from God. It's a provision. On your outline, it says judicial forgiveness. I want to break down this for you a little bit. Judicial forgiveness is what we receive through Christ. We have been forgiven through Christ. When we recognize Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we've asked Him into our lives, we do not face, as believers, we do not face that final, ultimate penalty of sin, which is death. We are no longer condemned. We are no longer destined to hell. That's judicial forgiveness. But this verse is not speaking of judicial forgiveness. These are already believers. This is Jesus asking believers, those who say, "Our Father." Forgive us our debts is speaking of parental forgiveness on your outline. Parental forgiveness. As Christians, we need God's constant forgiveness for the sins that we continue to commit in the flesh. We need God's gracious forgiveness daily, not as a judge, but as a loving Father. And now you see that tie-in back into where we started the prayer. See, we are given this instruction, we are given this guide by Jesus Christ, and from the very beginning we are to recognize Him as that loving and intimate Father. Why? Because we are going to need His loving forgiveness as a Father. We have already received His loving forgiveness as a judge through Jesus Christ. But we are going to need daily His loving forgiveness. 1 John 1:8 and 9 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now this was probably best demonstrated when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Number five, Jesus' foot washing of the disciples was a sign of humility. It was also a picture of forgiveness. So let me read to you a little bit there from John 13. And it's kind of cut out right out of the middle of the truth. But the context is there. Peter said to him, Jesus, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Wash all of me then. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. Now dirt on the feet in this was a picture of the daily contamination of sin that we experience as we walk through life. The one who is saved, the one who has seen Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, is washed clean, judicial forgiveness. But in the flesh, here on earth, continually walking, they need daily cleansing of that dirt that is gathering on their feet. You see the picture? 6 on your outline. Believers have been forgiven and made clean through salvation, but need daily forgiveness because we fall short of God's perfect holiness. Asking God to forgive us our sins in our daily prayers implies confession. Number 7 on your outline, if you are not putting your feet out there for Christ to wash daily, then your sins remain unconfessed and cannot be forgiven. Remember that. I mean, that's the picture here. Peter said, you're not washing my feet. And that's a picture for us. Are we placing those daily sins out there for Christ? That's confession. And if we are not, then how are they being clean? They're not. That means they remain unforgiven. Confess, there on your outline, means to agree. Confess means to agree. When we confess our sins, we are agreeing with God that we have fallen short of His standard in disobedience. God, we agree with you. And there's another picture there, because if we agree that we've fallen short of God's standard, then you know what we also agree? That His word is truth. That He is the standard. We can't rationalize, but God, you know, I was trying to do it this way. No. When we confess, we recognize, God, I've fallen short. I may have, with good intentions, been headed for the target, but I missed. And I missed in disobedience. It doesn't matter if you fall 15 feet short of the target or if the feathers on the arrow just touch the target. You missed. And if you miss, it's on us. It's not on Him. Look at all of verse 12. And forgive us our debts. But then there is a condition on our part as we forgive our debtors. Number 8. The condition is clear. If we have forgiven, we will be forgiven. If we have forgiven, then we will be forgiven. If we have not forgiven, then it's clear. We will not be forgiven. Now, this isn't new, because I want you to turn back. Turn back to Matthew 5:7. Turn back just a little bit. Matthew 5:7. In the middle of the Beatitudes, we already learned a lesson just like this. Matthew 5:7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And if you remember from the teaching, who they obtain mercy from? God. When Jesus started His message in the Beatitudes, He said, citizens in His kingdom are blessed and receive mercy because they themselves are merciful. You want to receive mercy? You're merciful. You want to receive forgiveness? You give forgiveness. And remember, later on in his teaching, he always taught the truth that those who serve in his kingdom also love their enemies. And you start to see the picture being put together. Number 9, forgiveness is a sign of a changed heart. Forgiveness is a sign of a changed heart, and that is the message in the Sermon on the Mount. The changing of your heart, the need for a changed heart. When we think out loud that, why should we forgive that person? I mean, when we think in our lives, why should we forgive that person? Look what they've done to me. That is a sign that life is all about us. I mean, we want to be in control. Why do I have to forgive them? Because when we refuse to forgive, it actually gives us a false sense of control. The reality is that false sense of control, when you're angry with something, you think you're in control of it because you can shake it. But in actuality, it reveals your sin. Number 10, the most important reason that we should forgive is very simple. It is so that we receive forgiveness. It's not that hard. I mean, this isn't a big, college thesis that you have to figure out. What is he really trying to say? It is simple. We should forgive so that we can receive forgiveness. Nothing is more important to the Christian life than to receive forgiveness. Amen? We don't even move forward if we don't receive forgiveness. Think about where you would be in life. Think about where you would be in life without forgiveness. Think about where you would be in death without forgiveness. It is one of the most important things to the believer. When it comes to forgiveness, God deals with us as we deal with others. That's the picture for us. That's the picture for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, it's your truth. And sometimes in our flesh, your truth stings. Your truth pierces our heart. Because, Father, you are straightforward through the teaching of Christ that, Father, you forgave us. So, Father, may we forgive those who have sinned against us. And, Father, may we remember that great gift of forgiveness. But, Father, not only the great gift of forgiveness in Jesus Christ dying on the cross and us coming to him and accepting him, but that great gift of forgiveness of our daily sins in our flesh. Father, where we might own a Bible and we might come to church, we might say amen, but we fall short of the target. We know it's because of our flesh. We know it's because we're not perfect yet with you. But Father, we know you are God. And we know that you provide life. And you provide forgiveness. And so, Father, we come to you and we ask that forgiveness. And Father, what we know about you is that you are faithful to forgive. Amen? So, Father, we pray this in Jesus' name, that you would receive all the glory. Let it be so. Amen.